Lord God, as we hear your word today, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts and our very lives to your word, that we might not only hear it, but that we might live it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say, I look a little close there, isn't it?
There you go.
But the nostrils on your tree look like a pine tree. You know, for the past 3 weeks, this being the fourth one, we've been in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And boy, there's a lot packed into such a small thing. It began with that trick question from the Pharisees regarding divorce, which you heard a few weeks ago. From there, it moved past the story of the little children coming to Jesus. And then we had the encounter with the rich young man. You remember that? Last week, we had that very inspirational moment when James and John came to Jesus and requested positions of authority and power. And today, we encounter Bartimaeus outside the city of Jericho. Now, generally, how do we refer to Bartimaeus?
Blind
Bartimaeus. But Belinda asked me a couple of weeks ago, she said, why do we call him blind Bartimaeus? He was healed. You know? So yeah, that, and so I mentioned that to Father Chris last weekend. So I'll give you his suggestion. We start calling him sighted Bartimaeus because that's the point of the story. This blind beggar receiving his sight. And as the story begins, we know Bartimaeus, blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. There was no disability support in first century Palestine for handicapped folk. No schools for the blind. No Braille and Hebrew or Aramaic. No seeing eye dogs. No colored canes. No street crossing lights that'll make a noise for you to let you know that it's clear. The blind were 100% at the mercy of the people in their community. They were dependent on the charity of others, from their family or from their neighbors. They were dependent on a society that held them in the absolute lowest of regard. Now, why, you might ask, why would they do that? Many of you know the answer, that the prevailing theology of the day taught that people were handicapped because of sin. Now, if you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. We'll quickly walk through a story where you can see the theology come into play. Now, the whole 9th chapter of the Gospel of John is the story of the healing of the man born blind. Listen to the question the disciples ask in the beginning. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Prevailing theology of the day. And Jesus tries to correct that. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so Jesus goes on with the healing. He mixes saliva with dirt, makes mud, puts it on his eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. We're very familiar with the story. He washes and he receives his sight. And then people recognize him. Hey, this is the guy that was sitting and begging, and now he can see. And so the Pharisees come to investigate it. And they don't believe him. They don't believe that he was born blind. And so call his parents. And his parents come in and say, yeah, he was born blind. That's our son. And yet the Pharisees still will not believe that this miracle has taken place. They do not believe this man. And they summon him a second time and they question him. And they say, how could he open your eyes? He's a sinner. And he's, you know, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I know I was blind and now I see. But they told him, you know, we're disciples of Moses. We don't even know where this man comes from. Which leads to a great statement by the man who had been healed. Now, this is remarkable, he said. You don't even know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of the opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If he were not from God, he could do nothing. And listen to their reply. This is a giveaway. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. And then when Jesus finds him after hearing that he was thrown out, he is revealed to the man as the Son of Man, and he believes. And the Pharisees who heard all of this say, so now you're saying that he can see and we're blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. Jesus was, of course, talking about that spiritual sight that so many lack. And in the Gospel of Mark, it's made absolutely clear everybody lacks it, especially the disciples. And we've talked for a lot this year about Mark and how he presents the disciples as clueless. And they are. After the feeding of the 4,000, and they're in the boat crossing the lake, and Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they think he's talking about actual bread because they only have one loaf with them. And when Jesus hears them talking about that, he's, you know, how stupid can you be? How stupid? After he fed the 5,000, how many baskets did you pick up? You know, 12. Yeah. After the feeding of the 4,000, 7. Why are you worried about bread? You're with me. And then he said to them, do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And the answer is yes to both. They struggled. They struggled to see. They struggled, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it. In the Gospel of Mark, only outsiders understand who Jesus is. The demons calling, we know who you are. Bartimaeus was an outsider. He had enough spiritual insight that had been given to him to see, even though he was blind. Now, Bartimaeus most likely was not born blind, or they would have made a huge point of it, just like they did in the Gospel of John. And that makes the situation, to me, seem a little bit sadder, in the sense that he knew what it was like to see, and he had lost that. He knew what he wanted and why. He knew what he had lost. When I was in seminary, I had a classmate named Nancy. She was blind. And she had been born blind. And she was amazing. She was just absolutely amazing. And she never, ever said that she wanted to see. I never heard her say that even one time. But she could just do amazing things. And all of her exams were oral, including Greek. She was just phenomenal. If I had to do things the way she did, I wouldn't be standing here today. I would never have made it through seminary. But with Bartimaeus having lost his sight, people assumed that he had lost his sight because of something that he had done. He was a sinner. He had done something vile. And you know, despite the book of Job, I hope you've all read the book of Job, it tries to correct that theology. And that theology was still prevalent in Jesus' day. And several times Jesus tries to correct it, and it doesn't matter. They're not listening. You know, he said, when the pool was full, you know, when a tower fell on those and 18 people were killed, like, do you think they were worse sinners than anybody else? Like, God collects sinners, a bunch of sinners, and then does away with them because of things that they've done or strikes people blind. Now, that theology is still prevalent today. A lot of people believe bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. So therefore, we should all be good. Which I think we should. But not so that good things will happen to us. It's like where when you do good works, you're looking over your shoulder at God. Hey, look. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing some good stuff here. But correcting that theology is beyond the scope of one sermon, and that's not what we're doing today. And even if that theology were true, think about this. Jesus stands it on its head with this miracle. It makes no difference to him. Jesus happens to bad people. Jesus happens to good people. Jesus just happens. You can quote me on that. Yeah. I'll make some little smiley shirt T faces. Yeah. Little smiley face T shirts. Jesus happens. But Bartimaeus, sitting there on the side of the road while blind, sees what other people cannot even discern, including the disciples. And this is a huge crowd walking with Jesus. While he is blind, he's not stupid. That's one of the things Nancy used to laugh about. She'd say, people start talking to me and they talk louder and slower because I'm blind. And she said, my hearing is impeccable. You don't have to talk louder. And I'm fairly smart. You don't have to talk slow. I'm not stupid. He's blind, but his hearing is impeccable. He hears things on the street. He's there all day begging. He hears what people are saying. He hears what's going on. He's heard about Jesus. Jesus is the talk of the town. He's the sensation of the day. And a huge crowd had followed him into Jericho, and this day they were following him out. Because Jesus was headed for Jerusalem for Passover. A lot of expectation from a lot of people. A lot of murmuring. He might be the Messiah. Bartimaeus knows the prophecies about the Messiah. He had heard Isaiah 42, I the Lord have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. The Messiah would be able to do the kinds of things that Jesus was doing. He had heard about the amazing miracles. He had heard the powerful words that Jesus had preached. He's blind, but not stupid. And no doubt, like every other follower of Judaism, he knew that the Messiah would be of the line of David, a descendant of David. He had heard the words of Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He will reign as king and deal wisely and will execute justice and righteousness in the land. Now think about what a day was like for Bartimaeus. He had a lot of time on his hands. He's sitting and he's begging. And he had a lot of time to think. He had a lot of time to connect the dots. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, though blind, he could see spiritually. That messianic secret, he knew it. Like the Roman soldier at the cross, like the demons, Bartimaeus understood that this young rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, passing through is the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of David. And he will fulfill those prophecies and was indeed fulfilling them now. He would save Israel and he would be a light to the Gentiles, and he gave sight to the blind. Sitting there, he could hear the commotion. He could hear the crowd approaching. They were following Jesus. And as I said, they were going to the Passover, that last Passover. And that air of excitement, well, he had an air of excitement about himself. That great expectation within himself of what Jesus could do for him. And he was not going to waste his shot. And that's for those of you who are fans of Hamilton, the musical. Not going to waste his shot. If you saw that, and you know that song, My Shot, Alexander Hamilton, it's his big number. Alexander Hamilton was not well received in society. He was the bastard child of an unwed mother who died and left him as an orphan. And the Church of England would not accept him as a member because his parents had not been married when he was born.
That was his fault.
Yes, it was his fault. Just like it's Bartimaeus' fault that he's blind. Same theology. Same theology. But he, like Hamilton, had great expectations, but not of himself. From Jesus. He knew Jesus was near, and so he shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the only place in the Gospel of Mark the title Son of David is used. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And now the crowd comes into play with their theology. This is such a short passage, but it has so much in it. They knew Bartimaeus, and they knew that a sinner like him should not be yelling at a rabbi like Jesus. He's a great rabbi, and you are a sinner. Be quiet, shut up. But like I said, Bartimaeus was not going to waste his shot. This is his chance. And he would not be silent. So he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, to everyone's surprise, Jesus stopped. Right there, it's like the parade going down the street, just stopped. And he says to the crowd, call him. That's interesting. Jesus was telling the people that were yelling at him to shut up to call him. And so they changed their tune from silencing Bartimaeus to calling him. They called, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. That's a 360-degree turn there. I can imagine that, you know, there's some sort of face-saving thing they might have said to Bartimaeus. You know, when I told you to shut up, I meant that you needed to be a little quieter so you could hear him calling you. Yeah. We've all done that. Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. Listen carefully to how Bartimaeus responds. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. The verbs show the expectation. He didn't lay his garment aside. He threw it. He didn't rise to his feet. He jumped and he came to Jesus. Now, throwing a cloak for a blind beggar is profound because that's his only possession. He throws it away to get to Jesus. And in your mind for just a moment, I'd like for you to compare that to what you learned from the rich young ruler in the same chapter. He couldn't throw anything away. And he couldn't come to Jesus. But the blind beggar is willing to throw everything that he has away. He jumps to his feet. He didn't rise. He rose and walked to Jesus. No, he jumped to get to Jesus. And Jesus asked him the same question he asked James and John in our gospel last week. What would you have me do for you? Same question. What would you have me do for you? And the blind man simply says, he doesn't want power. He doesn't want any of those things. Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. We're told he followed Jesus on the road. He went from sitting on the side of the road to following Jesus on the road. His life was transformed. He was changed. He became a disciple of Jesus and immediately followed him. He didn't run back into town to find his dad and say, look, I can see. He followed the one who had restored his sight. He could see in every way possible. He could see spiritually. He could see physically. There are always a lot of us crying out to Jesus. Myself included. I know that I cry out to him frequently. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And I pray that for myself frequently, and I pray it for others frequently. Have mercy. We pray it for those whom we love, those who are in distress, those who are ill. And sometimes it seems like we're not being heard. Sometimes it seems like our cry is being muffled by the noises of the world around us. And sometimes we even start to believe the voices from the crowd that we are not worthy to cry out. We're too sinful to call on the name of Jesus. Think of my grandfather who came to know Christ on his deathbed. He never believed he was worthy enough. And, I mean, he lived a pretty wild life. And as his grandson, he led a wild life, and he did not think that God wanted him or that Jesus would welcome him. But there at the end, a chaplain convinced him in the hospital. And he came to know. But we all feel that way sometimes. I'm sinful. I'm not worthy. I can't yell out to Jesus. Know this and remember this. Jesus does not pass us by. Jesus still stops. And he still calls us to come to him. Come with your needs. Go to him. And like Bartimaeus, go with expectations that something's going to happen. It may not be exactly what you want to happen, but in every encounter with Jesus Christ, there's transformation. Go. Ignore the voices that are telling you to shut up. Shout out all the more. And like the Reformed crowd, I will tell you, take heart. Take heart. Jesus is calling you. Jump up and go to him. and go with the expectation of transformation. And the last thing I will say to you about where we are right now, if we've all been kind of sidelined in the practice of our faith by this pandemic. I know I was furious in the beginning that in all other pandemics, think in the history of the world, priests and pastors were able to minister to their flocks and, if necessary, die with them during pandemics. When people would evacuate cities during pandemics, clergy stayed behind, priests, nuns, pastors. But this time we were sidelined. We weren't able to. We weren't even able to visit folk in the hospital. And hundreds of thousands of people died alone. And that broke my heart. And I don't like sitting on the side of the road. But like Bartimaeus, you know, that's where we find ourselves right now. We are on the side of the road. And I ask that we all pray that as Jesus is calling us, we find a way to get up from the side of the road and follow him on the road. That's our call. And I could talk more and more. I could talk about Bartimaeus all day. Sighted Bartimaeus, that is. A great example for what we should be as disciples. We can see. We can all see physically. We can all see spiritually. We know that that man passing by is the Messiah, the Son of David, our King, our Savior. Let's get in the road and follow. Amen.